No cheering, please, but this is the last message on Philippians. I've been preaching through Philippians for close to 4 months, I'm guessing. I've kind of lost track. But there's so much there, so much depth, so much uplifting. Philippians was written from Rome. The Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome, on trial for his faith, his belief in Jesus Christ. He wrote to a little colony in the northern part of Greece in Macedonia. Philippi was a city there named after Philip of Macedon, father of Alexander the Great. You've heard all this before if you've been here, but just kind of want to recap it for some who may not have been. And he writes from prison, and it's full of joy. It's full of joy. Just four chapters, but at least 14 times, either rejoice or joy is mentioned. And so I just want to wrap this whole thing up by talking about some reasons for rejoicing, reasons for rejoicing. I rejoice quite a bit. Sometimes it borders on insanity, but I rejoice quite a bit. Pretty joy-filled person. I'm thankful and grateful for what I've got. I could do better. We could all do better in being thankful, being joyful, being up, no matter what the circumstances are in life. Paul said, we recall last week, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he could be joyful even when he was in prison. He could be joyful when he was on death row facing his execution. He could be joyful being beaten, being imprisoned, being shipwrecked, being stranded out in the ocean for a couple of nights and days. He could always find reasons to be joyful. And remember, happiness depends on what happens. And not everything that happens is good, is it? But joy comes from within. Joy is an inner quality. It radiates from within. Used to sing a little chorus when I was a kid, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And I'm going to say it right now, and I'm going to say it right at the very end. If you don't have the joy of Jesus Christ living and dwelling in your heart, you're missing out. And you're not going to be joyful, you're not even going to be very happy if you don't have Christ in your heart. That's the key to it, having the mind of Christ. And there's so many great reasons to rejoice. We said last week that New Testament Christianity is the only religion in the world that begins and ends with joy. The angels said, behold, we bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born to you, which is Christ the Lord. And it ends with a wedding supper of the Lamb. Go back and look at the book of Revelation. We'll talk about this great celebration when the church, the bride of Christ, are united with Christ to begin eternity, the wedding supper of the Lamb. And over and over and over again, the 19th chapter of Revelation, people are shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a time of great joy. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, around the throne of God, there will be 10,000 times 10,000 angels singing praises, glory, honor, power unto our great King. That's the way heaven is going to begin. And right in the middle of it, of course, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly or have it to the full. So Christianity begins and ends, and in the middle, it should be something of great, great joy. Well, let me give you just a few reasons. Psalm 118:24 is a favorite verse. And it's also the text of a great song. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, or I will rejoice and be glad in it. To rejoice is a choice. Make the choice to rejoice. Make sure that you are filled with the joy of Christ, that He is in your heart. You're not ever going to be really happy or content or blessed. You can have more money than Warren Buffett and Oprah Winfrey and Jeff Bezos and all those rich people. Taylor Swift. I'm sorry I mentioned her name here, Father, in this church. You can have. She's got a foul mouth. Did you know that? But anyway, you can have all the money, all the fame, all the popularity, but you're not going to have that joy in your heart without Christ in your heart. That's just the way it is. You may not agree with that, but you'd be wrong. Psalm 102 says, serve God with joy. And I also said last week, there's way too many Christians look like they've been baptized in dill pickle juice. They're just not happy. They're not happy. So three reasons. First of all, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. That's the first reason that he gives us to rejoice. Jesus is coming back. There are three places right here in this little book of Philippians. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi. There's three places right in the first chapter and a few verses where it talks about the day of Christ. That's a reference, kind of an indirect one, but that's a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let me read these verses to you. They're just very quick. First of all, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to these words. Paul is saying that he who began a work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's a reference to his coming back. And then look at verse 10, almost the same thing. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness. And then in chapter 2 and verse 16, we read these words. He says, I did not run. He says, I'm like the stars as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. So in other words, he starts right off here. And then, of course, he talks about this in other places. Listen to this passage in Philippians 4:4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. That means he's coming back. He's coming back someday. And then if you look at these other verses, just a couple more, verses 10 through 13, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your strength for me. Learn to be content in whatever the circumstances. I've learned that I can do everything through him who gives me strength. He's talking about rejoicing no matter the circumstances, but he keeps saying the Lord is near. The day of Christ is at hand. You can rejoice. Did you know, some of you are not going to believe this, but you can Google this, 318 times the New Testament, just the New Testament says that Jesus is coming back. 318 times. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And that's not all. That's just a fraction of this whole thing. There's over 1,000 references when you start including the Old Testament. 1,000. Clear back in the book of Genesis, there's a great example of a prediction, a prophecy, a statement of the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. And because of that, we can rejoice because we know that when he comes back, every wrong is going to be made right. All the trials, all the troubles, all the unjust, unfair, bad things that happen are going to be made right. How wonderful that's going to be. Amen. Thanks, brother. We need to think when Christ comes again, this is going to be so wonderful. Well, let me go back to this text in the Old Testament. Well, it starts actually in the New Testament in Jude. Jude is the next to last book in the Old Testament, only one chapter. Verse 14, in Jude, it says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, that's the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied about these men. He said, see, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. Just think about this. This goes back, clear back to Genesis chapter 5. Clear back to Genesis chapter 5. This is really the first reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 5. Let me just share a little bit of this with you real quick. It says, Jared lived 162 years, and he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, and then he died. These guys lived a long time. Then Enoch lived 65 years, and he became the father of Methuselah. This is older than Dick Dietrich. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God and then was no more because he was taken away. He had such a close relationship with God that he didn't even die physically. There was only one other guy in the Bible that did that. You know who that is? Elijah. Elijah was caught up to be with the Lord. Elijah and Enoch both did not die physically. I like that comedian I heard one time. He said, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. And we can all kind of relate to that just a little bit. But neither one of these guys died. They were just caught up to be with the Lord. He walked with God. I like that. He walked with God and he was not. But just think about that. Then clear back in Genesis chapter 5, in the seventh from Adam, he said, I can see the thousands of coming, his saints, his angels coming to this earth. So 318 times the New Testament says he's coming, and many, many more times it says in the Old Testament that he is coming again. You know, at the end of 1 Corinthians, it says there's a word that's called Maranatha, and it means the Lord is coming. And you know what they did? That's the way they would greet each other. They would say Maranatha. They wouldn't say, hi, buddy, how you doing? How's it going? What's happening? How's life treating you? They'd say, the Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. They greeted each other. They believed that he was coming and that he was coming soon. My brother Dean was on an airplane one time, flying out to California from Wichita, and he sat by a young lady, and they were conversing, and this gal, she's excited. She was going to get married, and she was talking about her husband-to-be. His name was Bob. And Dean said, everything I said, she turned it back to Bob. Well, here the weather's nice out in California. Oh, yeah, Bob loves that California weather. And food came, and, you know, Bob doesn't like peas, or, you know, I mean, everything that he said or she said turned it right back to Bob. He said, there we were, just bobbing along, and, you know, on the airplane. He said, you want to see it? She said, you want to see a picture of Bob? He said, well, sure. He said, there are only two ugly people in the world, and he was both of them. He said, he was... But she was excited. She was excited because, listen, she was going to a wedding. She was going to a wedding. Listen, we ought to be excited. We're going to a wedding. We're going to the wedding supper of the Lamb. We're going to meet and be the bride of Jesus Christ for all eternity. The best is yet to come. We can rejoice. We can rejoice. Why? No more sickness. No more death. No more elections. No more debates. No more injustice. No more poverty. Heaven begins. Heaven begins. I had the radio on. I listen to the radio a lot at night. And there's a Clear Channel station over in Cincinnati, WLW 700. And I've listened to it every year. I listen to the Reds games sometimes at night. And this... there's a little talk show comes on early on Saturday morning, and I don't know who the guy's name is, but this lady calls in almost every Saturday morning. She's an elderly lady, and she always tells us, this radio host, I love you, and he said, well, I love you too, honey, and she said, I put on makeup and wear perfume just so I can talk to you. She's, you know, on the radio, and then she always sings a song, And she started singing. She's a lousy singer, but her heart is right with God, I tell you. And yesterday she was saying, I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Wasn't quite that good. Who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. And I thought, there's a gal that's got it straight. She is on her way to heaven. She is waiting for the return of the Lord, or her death will take her into the arms of Christ. She is bound for the promise. Listen, we're bound for the promised land. We can rejoice because Jesus is coming back. How does this work for you? Well, every spring you can say, boy, Jesus, I hope you come back and I won't have to do these taxes. I hope you come back and I won't have to, you know, have my mother-in-law move in with me. Whatever. I hope you come back soon. I hope you come back soon. Maranatha, come back soon. Second reason you can rejoice is because of things eternal. Because of things eternal. And again, those references, 1:6, 1:8, 2:18, or 2:16 in Philippians about the day of Christ. That's talking about the beginning of eternity. The beginning of eternity. One of my favorite passages back in the Old Testament is in Ecclesiastes 3:11, where it says that God has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has put eternity, listen to this, he has put eternity into the hearts of man. God has put in all of us a sense that this world is not all there is. There is more beyond what we see, both past and present. I got to repeat that. It's too good not to. God has put in all of us a sense that this world is not all there is. Don't you believe that? Don't you know deep down in your heart that there's more to this world, more to this existence than just this physical life here on earth for a few years? There's more beyond what we see, both past and present. You know, that's what Easter's all about, isn't it? It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he lived, we too shall live. That's what he told Mary and Martha at the grave of Lazarus. If a person believes in me, even though he dies, yet will he live. We're talking eternity. That's what John 3:16 ends up with. And if you believe in him, if you believe in God's only begotten Son, you will have what? Everlasting life. That's eternity, eternal life. That's the way the 23rd Psalm ends, doesn't it? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord for quite a while. No, forever, forever, forever. So don't get too happy about a new car or a new house or winning the lottery or a job. Because the news is going to wear off. It's all going to wear off. But eternity is ahead. Eternity is ahead. You know, Paul lived that way. His example was pretty amazing. Let me share two texts with you just real quick. First of all, Philippians 1:13. Paul is writing. He says, well, verse 12 says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. That's all he really cared about, advancing the gospel so that souls could be saved for eternity. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard. Remember, he's being guarded 24 hours a day, probably chained to Roman soldiers for various shifts. They'd become Christians just out of relief. They'd ulcer of the ear. They'd give up. Out of the hope, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously. So that's 1 Corinthians, or Philippians 1:13. Then the final greetings back in the back. He says, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send their greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Paul's knocking them off right up there in the palace. I mean, in Nero's palace, he's leading people to Christ because of his witness, and it's just traveling. You can't chain the gospel. And so he is saying that you can't stop the good news. And I'm going to rejoice because these people are being saved, and they're being saved for all eternity, for all eternity. He's chained to soldiers, and they are hearing the message. You can't stop a good man like Paul. Third and finally, you can rejoice because worry is a waste of time and it's useless. A couple of 3 weeks ago, I had a whole message basically about you don't need to worry, and it's true, and I'm not going to repeat a lot of that, but the secret of contentment, according to Paul, is to have the mind of Christ. Again, if Christ is not in you, if you don't have Jesus in your heart and life, you can't know real joy. You may cover stuff up with things, activities, business, food. You name it. You can camouflage life all you want, but you're not going to be really happy until Christ is in your heart. Just can't say that enough. The secret of contentment is to have the mind of Christ. I love that passage back in Isaiah. I forgot the reference, but it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." If our mind is on God, he will give us perfect peace. The word anxious is used there. Paul says, "Be not anxious." Anxious means double-minded. We often misuse the word anxious, don't we? We say, "Well, I'm anxious to meet you." No, that anxious means upset. I'm double-minded. I'm apprehensive. I'm fearful. But this is a different thing. If you worship and praise God, you are going to be blessed. If he is in your heart and your mind, if you have the mind of Christ, you will be single-minded. I love what Psalms 16:11 says. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy." In your presence is the fullness of joy. "At your right hand there are pleasures evermore." In your right hand there are pleasures evermore. You know what John Wesley said about worry? I love this. John Wesley is basically the founder of the Methodist movement. John Charles Wesley lived in England, and they started methodical, that's where you get the word Methodist, methodical Bible studies in the factories of England. And he said this, "I would just as soon take God's name in vain as to worry about possessions." I'd just as soon take God's name in vain as to worry about possessions. Do you worry about possessions? Oh, we shouldn't, should we? If God can clothe the lily of the field, if God can attend the funeral of every sparrow, and he does. Jesus said, "You're worth more than many sparrows." If God could arrange the flowers of the field greater than Solomon in all of his splendor and glory, and God can take care of you. If God could feed the 2.5 million people that he freed from Egypt, that he led out of Egypt through Moses, if he could send out the 12 apostles with no extra clothes, no bag, no money, and take care of them, he can take care of you. He can take care of you. Heard about a little boy about 11 years old, probably about Robbie Cook's age, and dad comes home at night and his light's on, and dad says, what's going on, son? He says, "Well, I'm worried." "Well, what are you worried about?" "Well, I'm worried we're going to not have enough money. We're going to run out of food. I think I'll go and ask some of the neighbors if they can get some groceries for us. Maybe I can sell my bike." And the dad says, "Well, son, wait a minute. This makes no sense. I'm your father. I will provide for you. This is my job. This is my responsibility. I will take care of you. You are my child. I will take care of you. Listen, God's going to take care of you too. He will meet your needs. He will be with you. He will bless you. He will help. He loves you. You are his child. He is your heavenly Father. It's his privilege, his responsibility. It's his love to care for you and to meet your needs. Read about a little girl, about five. Her father was in the army, and she'd only really seen pictures of him that she could remember, and mom had read her some letters, and one day she's out in the front yard, and he comes home. She looks up and sees this tall, handsome soldier, and she says, "Oh, Daddy, you're real, aren't you? You're real." Listen, we have a God who's real. Our God is real. He loves you. He cares about you. So again, wrapping this whole thing up, you have to make a choice to rejoice. A choice to, everybody say that, a choice to rejoice. God loves you. He cares about you. There's so many reasons. I haven't even scratched the surface of reasons to rejoice. But we can rejoice because the Lord is at hand. We can rejoice because of eternity, the things of eternity. We can rejoice because we really don't have to worry. God's going to take care of us. He's going to meet our needs. Trust him. Trust him. Make a choice to rejoice. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this reminder of a few reasons and a very few reasons out of all that are possible for us to rejoice. We thank you for loving us, being good to us, providing for us, blessing us. We sing, we're not even capable of counting. We're not even aware, mindful of every blessing that you pour out upon us when we don't even realize you're protecting us and helping us and guiding us. So, Father, we're just so thankful for all the blessings. Help us, Father. Help me to remember every day that if I want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, I must let Jesus come into my heart. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing this invitation. If there's any decision you would make for Christ, we would be glad to have you do that. It's Almost Persuaded.
Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, "Go, Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day, on thee I'll call." Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded,
being here. It's good to see each one of you. Karen and I have survived another year. Tomorrow is our 62nd wedding anniversary. Hard to believe. I was feeling kind of good about that, and then I read in a paper this morning some couple have been married 80 years. And of course, he was 110 and just died this month, actually. Oh, wow. We were only 12 when we got married, so that kind of explains a little bit of this. But we're going to be gone next week. I think it's the last time I'll miss this year until maybe the end of the year. But Perry Anderson's going to preach for us. Keep Perry in your prayers. And his wife's struggling with some cognitive issues, and Perry's a great guy. I love Perry. He'll be here to preach for us, so be sure and come. Don't stay away. And we're going to meet our kids down the ocean down South Carolina for about 4 days, but be gone over the weekend. So hope you come back. Fred, you're back there with a microphone. Say a prayer for us, brother.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come and worship you. And we just thank Brother Shamp for giving us the word. We just ask you to be with him as he travels and bring him back safe. Lord, we just ask you to be with everyone on the prayer list and be with Brother Dale, that he's a great man, Lord. Just watch over him, take care of him. We just ask everybody safe week this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Closing song.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel, God uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.